Robert Jordan walked through the pines, feeling his way from tree to the edge of the meadow, looking across it in the darkness, lighter here in the open from the starlight. He saw the dark bulks of the picketed horses. He counted them where they were scattered between him and the stream. There were 5. Robert Jordan sat down at the foot of a pine tree and looked out across the meadow. I am tired, he thought, and perhaps my judgment is not good. But my obligation is the bridge, and to fulfill that, I must take no useless risk of myself until I complete that duty. Of course, it is sometimes more of a risk not to accept chances which are necessary to take, but I have done this so far, trying to let the situation take its own course. If it is true, as the gypsy says, that they expected me to kill Pablo, then I should have done that. But it was never clear to me that they did expect that. For a stranger to kill where he must work with the people afterwards is very bad. It may be done in action, and it may be done if backed by sufficient discipline, but in this case I think it would be very bad, although it was a temptation and seemed a short and simple way. But I do not believe anything is that short nor that simple in this country, and while I trust the woman absolutely, I could not tell how she would react to such a drastic thing. One dying in such a place can be very ugly, dirty, and repugnant. You could not tell how she would react. Without the woman, there is no organization nor any discipline here, and with the woman, it can be very good. It would be ideal if she would kill him, or if the gypsy would, but he will not, or if the sentry Augustine would. Anselmo will, if I ask it, though he says he is against all killing. He hates him, I believe, and he already trusts me, and believes in me as a representative of what he believes in. Only he and the woman really believe in the Republic, as far as I can see. But it is too early to know that yet. As his eyes became used to the starlight, he could see that Pablo was standing by one of the horses. The horse lifted his head from grazing, then dropped it impatiently. Pablo was standing by the horse, leaning against him, moving with him as he swung with the length of the picket rope and patting him on the neck. The horse was impatient at the tenderness while he was feeding. Robert Jordan could not see what Pablo was doing, nor hear what he was saying to the horse, but he could see that he was neither unpicketing nor saddling. He sat watching him, trying to think his problem out clearly. Thou, my big, good little pony, Pablo was saying to the horse in the dark. It was the big bay stallion he was speaking to. Thou lovely white-faced big beauty. Thou with the big neck arching like the viaduct of my pueblo. He stopped, but arching more and much finer. The horse was snatching grass, swinging his head sideways as he pulled, annoyed by the man and his talking. Thou art no woman, nor a fool, Pablo told the bay horse. Thou, O thou, thee, my big little pony, thou art no woman like a rock that is burning. Thou art no colt of a girl with cropped head and the movement of a foal still wet from its mother. Thou dost not insult nor lie nor not understand. Thou, thee, O my good big little pony. It would have been very interesting for Robert Jordan to have heard Pablo speaking to the bay horse, but he did not hear him because now, convinced that Pablo was only down checking on his horses, and having decided that it was not a practical move to kill him at this time, he stood up and walked back to the cave. Pablo stayed in the meadow talking to the horse for a long time. The horse understood nothing that he said, only from the tone of the voice that they were endearments, and he had been in the corral all day and was hungry now, grazing impatiently at the limits of his picket rope, and the man annoyed him. Pablo shifted the picket pin finally and stood by the horse, not talking now. The horse went on grazing and was relieved now that the man did not bother him.